Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 235, The Nature of Faith. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 16th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, I am really excited to give this message today. We're not supposed to have favorites, right? But I think my favorite thing to talk about and preach on is faith. I love the subject of faith. There's just something about it that has connected in my heart and my spirit about faith. And as I was driving over here this morning, just praying over the message and over the service, the Lord began to talk to me about some things. And then I realized after he said what he said that, oh, this is the why of this message. This is the why this is important. So I'm telling you what God said, why you should listen to what I have to say, because this is important to God's heart. And he was saying that he is dissatisfied with fear in the church as a whole. The church as a whole, and I'm not talking about just my father, you know, my father's house. That fear is an obstacle between him and his people. And for us as the people of God to be the victorious church without spot and wrinkle, we need to overcome fear. We need to be walking in faith, right? And coming into this next year of 2022, we've got stuff to do. That's the slogan, seems to be, for the year. You know, there might be some challenges up ahead. There might be some battles that we need to overcome. And certainly fear always tries to get its grip on God's people, right? To discredit who God is in our lives and what the word says. And Satan just wants to rock us so that we will get our eyes off of God and just sit home in fear, right? And tremble and not do anything. And but God has different plans for us. And so this message is called The Nature of Faith. It's sort of like he was telling me, this is like I was seeing like an army preparation class, like soldiers coming and getting equipped, soldiers getting like positioned, like we are the army of God, right? And we need to be positioned to go into this year of perhaps some battles and with winning faith, with overcoming faith. Because that's what will help us triumph fear, right? Faith is the opposite of fear. So I was like, wow, thanks for that, Lord. That's the why of the message. That's why this is important, and that's why we should pay attention to this and faith in our lives, and why we're going to just jump right in to the nature of faith. So we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we want to please God. I know most of your hearts here are those of you that I know, you know, that your heart is to please God. You want to do his will. You want to do things right before him. And so let's position ourselves in faith because that's how we please him. That's how we bring satisfaction to the heart of God. We have all been given a measure of faith. It says that in Romans 12, verse 3. We've each, all of us have been given a measure of faith, and we are expected to grow and increase that faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, the word says in another place. We are expected to grow and increase that faith. And Pastor gave me a wonderful little other introduction earlier. How do we, and he told the answer to this question, how do we increase our or grow our faith? By hearing the word of God, right? Romans 10:17. Yeah, there it is. Okay. I have some scriptures up here. So some I'll just speak to you and some will be up on the screen. So, here's Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes when we hear the word, right? When the word of God is spoken, that's Christ Jesus, King Jesus, that's him speaking, right? So we could say then, Christ speaks, we hear it, and faith comes, right? It's like a little equation of that. And so that's the next slide there is, says this, Christ speaks, I hear it, faith comes. Like he's saying, like he said, applying to finances, but we can apply this to any area of our lives. When we want to grow in an area, we sow, but we also can feed on the word of God, hear the word of God in that same, on that subject. And when we hear that word, God is speaking to us, faith comes, right? Simple. Christ speaks, I hear, faith comes. Let's say that together. Christ speaks, I hear, faith comes. Simple, right? Good. All right, the next thing, the opposite of this is Satan speaks, because he will try to speak, especially when you're standing in faith, especially when you're trying to build yourself on the word of God, because he's over here going, oh, no, 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 I'm going to say my counter, you know, his counterfeit. He's such a liar. He's got counterfeit, only lies. He's the father of lies. He's full of counterfeit. So he's, you know, the word speaks to us, faith is coming, and Satan's not going to like that. So he's going to try to speak to us. And if we hear it and take that into our hearts, what happens to faith then? It goes, right? Satan speaks, I hear, faith goes. So I guess I won't have you declare that, but it's just important to know that that's what happens. I don't want to declare that, but we need to know that's what the enemy does, right? The enemy, the defeated one is a better name for him. You know, that's what he will try to do. And guess what? Christ is still speaking to today. Hallelujah. He is speaking today. Hebrews 1. Verses 1 and 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, I'd say we're in the last days right now, right? In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, right? Whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So this is saying that in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, and he continues to speak to us through his Son, through the word of God, right? Into our hearts. So praise the Lord for that. Let's receive what Christ Jesus wants to speak to us today. Because as I'm going to, you know, give some knowledge, and I'm going to give some, like, some teaching and some scriptures, but what's most important is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of you as I speak, right? So let's receive what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each of our hearts today and as we build our faith. Okay, so let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Oh, you are the Father of faith. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and you lead us to grow the measure of faith that we've been given. Thank you, Father God, for just ministering to each heart today. Father, take my words. I yield them to you. I surrender to you, and I ask that you take those words and you minister to each heart. You're such a personal God, and you meet and minister to each person with what they need. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to us today, because we want to grow the measure of faith that you've given us. We want to be good stewards with the word of God that you've given us. And so we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to dig in. So this is the nature of faith, and faith has several different, five or six main parts, things that faith does. So the first one is that faith sees. All right? Faith sees. As believers filled with the Holy Spirit, we have available to us much beyond what our physical eyes and what our physical senses, all of our physical senses, not just our eyesight, can perceive for us. Faith sees beyond a problem or beyond a circumstance of what our natural eyes see, right? And we will be so limited if we are governed only by what we see with our natural eyes. We're so limited there. And I love this about our spiritual lives with the Holy Spirit. There is so much available to us. Like, there's no limit to it. It's just, that excites me. Hebrews 11:1, and there's a slide for this. There it is. They're on it back there. Thank you. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you may not see it with your physical eyes, but faith is the thing, is the force that has substance. Like, I know that I know. It's a conviction. It's that evidence. It's the assurance. And those are some of the words that other versions of that scripture say, that it's the evidence. It's the assurance. I know that I have it. I might not see it with my physical eyes, but my spiritual eyes can see it. They can perceive it, right? And that's what faith is. It reaches out to grab that thing and manifest it in the natural. So then that at some point when it manifests, you can see it. Hallelujah. Right? Faith is a powerful force. So, and 2 Corinthians 5:7, this is a reminder to us. We know this verse. We walk by faith and not by sight. Or some versions say we live by faith and not by sight. Right? Not by what I see, not by what I wake up and I feel bad one day and I'm feeling like I have a headache. That's not how I'm going to allow my day to be ordered based on how I feel or what I'm seeing. If I have pain or if I have a big, I don't know, something that starts growing on my skin that shouldn't be there, which that's a later testimony of mine. But you know, I'm not going to walk or allow my day and my emotions and everything about that day or my life be determined by what I can see. If it's a negative thing that doesn't line up to the Word of God, I'm going to go by faith. What the Word of God says, right? Because faith comes by hearing the word. So I put the word in, and that's spiritual food to me that I can then begin to see with my spiritual eyes what the word says and how that can be a reality to me, right? Because the word of God is the most true, the most real thing. It's the highest form of reality that there is, what God says, what he says. So we need to be willing to let go of what we see with our physical eyes sometimes. Is, well, that's not really, yes, it's there. I'm not going to deny its existence. Like if I feel sick or something, okay. But that's not the highest form of reality. God says something else, right? And so like he says, call those things which be not as though they are. So that's what faith is doing. It's calling those things out to come into manifestation in our lives, right? So with this point of faith seeing, it's so important to conceive an image on the inside. I say on the inside, it's like with your spirit. So you attach hold, grab hold to a word of God. If you are believing for anything, if you're believing for finances, if you're believing for breakthrough and deliverance, if you're believing for healing over some sickness or some health issue, if you're believing for salvation for a family member, whatever it is, grab hold of the word of God. Ask the Lord for some rhema words, some swords of the spirit to fight with, and then work with those words. Meditate, we say, on that word until it conceives an image on the inside of you. I like to say it like this, and many of you have heard me say this, until it comes alive. It's got to come alive because the Word of God is active and it's alive, right? So it's kind of like letting the Holy Spirit be an artist, and we're a co-artist with the Holy Spirit, and we allow Him to paint a picture for us of that image, of that promise, of whatever it is that you are believing for. So you need to begin to see yourself as the healed one. You need to begin to see yourself and you living your life as the one who is prosperous and not in debt anymore, or with your family member that's healed and whole and saved, or whatever it is that you are believing for. You have to see that on the inside, because, you know, what God says is the highest, His truth is the highest form of reality. So I need to line myself up to that so that I'm getting that reality on the inside of me, and that allowing that word to come alive in my heart, right? Because John 15, we're going to go to this verse. I love this verse. John 15, 7 and 8. It says, if you abide in me, or some versions say remain in me, and my words abide in you. Did I bold it? I bolded it here in my notes, but I didn't hear it. But you hear me talking and I'm bolding those words, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. I will add that lines up with the Word of God. Don't be asking for something crazy that's not what God wants for you. And it will be done for you. Say what? Say what? It will be done for you, it says. This is to my Father's glory. He gets the glory for it. Wow. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Isn't that awesome? I just love that word. And I had revelation of that word that, okay, I'm remaining in you. I'm abiding in you. That was my word for 2021, abide. I'm going to endeavor last year, at the beginning of the year, when the Lord spoke that word, abide, to me. It's like, okay, I'm going to abide, Lord. I'm going to endeavor to be with you, be present with you in everything that I'm doing and thinking and my whole being, right? And then sometime during the year, I had revelation of this, and He said, but there's more. Yes, abide in me and keep doing that. But my word abides in you also. So letting that word come alive and live inside of your heart, then you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And who gets the glory? The Father. Woo! That is a good deal right there. That is awesome. I love that. So we must replace the word, the truth of the word, for the lies of the enemy. So that's why it's so important to get it alive in your heart so that you can defeat him when he comes and says, no, but you're, look at you, you feel terrible. You're never going to get rid of these migraine headaches, or, you know, this illness or this problem, or you're always going to be in lack. No, the Word of God says, ra-da-da-da-da-da, right? Whatever your promise or promises are. You fight with that because the devil will try to fight you in the natural realm all the time. Like, that's where he is at, in the natural, right? But if you stay in the arena of the Spirit, where God is, right, the good Spirit, where the Word is, then you win every time. No, devil, it's not about what I see. It's not about what I feel. The highest reality is what God says. And so take that, and then you spew out your word of what has come alive in your heart, right? It's not just about memorizing it is good, but you need to spend time with the word, do that work, that labor, and sometimes it is to get it alive. I've had to work at that. I've had lots of time to work at that. And I'll tell you, the things that I'm believing for, they're alive in my heart. Like, I can see it. And it's alive. It's alive, hallelujah, just like Jesus. Okay, so faith sees beyond the problem. beyond the circumstances. It sees into the spirit realm, right? Some basis of this message, a little framework of this message, I'll give credit to Jerry Savelle, who is a minister that I watch on YouTube sometimes. And this is he did this message and talking about the different actions of faith, the nature of faith. And he tells this story. So this message that I'm giving to you is loosely based on that, but I'm putting my own scriptures and my own revelation and my own testimonies to share with you. But he tells a story when he's talking about that faith sees, where he was believing for a car. His other family car broke down and they had issues with it. And so he was believing and got that word, just a word in his heart that God was going to provide a vehicle for his family. And I guess he said that to his neighbor one day. And, the neighbor said, "Oh, where's your car?" And he says, "Well, I've got a new one." And she says, "Oh, really? Where is it?" And he says, "I believe I receive." And she's like, "What? Where's your car? Where's your new car?" It was in his heart. It was in his eyes of faith. And she didn't get it. And she's going, "Well, where is it? I can't see it. Where is it?" And he just kept repeating to her, "I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I have that car by faith." And she was like, "This neighbor is weird, you know?" And so then he challenged her and he said, "Well, do you think that you, would you say that you have a brain?" And she said, "Well, yes." And he says, "Well, can you see it?" And she says, "No." And he says, "Well, how do you know you have a brain?" He's a humorous guy, and he's just challenging her, and she probably just walked away like, "What?" You know? Oh, okay. So he's seeing something that I'm not seeing. You know, he's seeing this car. So that's just an illustration of, with our eyes of faith, we have to grab hold of what God speaks to us and allow that to paint a new picture on the inside of us. Make sense? Okay, faith sees. All right, we're going to go on to faith speaks now. So once you conceive that image in your heart, you will begin to speak it out. So whatever image you have of yourself and in respect to what you're believing for, that's what's going to come out. It's like Pastor has said before, you know, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, whatever's in it, when it's under pressure, right, gets squeezed. We're trying to get something out, and what's in there comes out, right? So Luke 6:45 says, whatever is in the abundance of your heart, that's the mouth speaks, right? What's in the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks that out. So that's why the first step is so important, that we have to conceive that image. Because if you're, listen to what you're speaking. If you're speaking, "Oh, I just feel so bad and I'm just sick and this is going to be so hard," you haven't yet conceived the image. You got to go back to step one and work there of faith seeing and getting that word alive in your heart, so that then, because the talk will come out of what's in your heart. So once you have that image of you with the breakthrough and you with the promise, then you will speak that out naturally, because that's what's in your heart. That's what's there, right? Paul said, "I believe, therefore I speak." If you're always talking negatively and doubt and unbelief, then that's what's in your heart, because that's the image that you've conceived on the inside. So listen to what you're saying, what you're speaking, and change that. change your confession. Some people can't see themselves ever being healed or with their debt paid off, and therefore they're not going to speak that way, right? Our words are powerful. Our words are powerful, and they should line up to the Word of God, based on the image that we want to conceive in our hearts, right? I love the story in Mark 5. of the woman with the issue of blood. So there's the full version. Yeah, that was Luke 6 back there. Okay, so let's read this story. Mark 5, 24 and 30 through 34. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, some versions say she thought, but this version says she said, and this implies over and over and over. She wasn't supposed to go out in the crowd. Right? She was unclean and she wasn't supposed to be out in public, right? And so she was like an outcast because of her uncleanness, because of this illness. And so, but she must have heard about Jesus, right? She must have heard about Jesus. And when she heard about Jesus, I think the word of faith began to grow in her. Like she began to see, like, and then she began to say, based on what her belief was, like, Jesus can heal me. If I just touch his garment, she said. If I may only just touch his clothes. And she said that. She said that. If, as she was going out of her door, I imagine she's saying that. And each step along the way to get to where Jesus was to touch him, I imagine that was her inner dialogue. If I can just touch. If I can just touch. I know Jesus can heal me. If I can just touch. So she's speaking out what was conceived in her heart when she heard the message of faith. She heard about Jesus, right? And so then she says, I shall be made well. And then what happened? Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus said immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And then at verse 31, but his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, he could have said, my anointing has made you well, but he didn't. It was her faith that reached out and grabbed the anointing. We know that the anointing has to be there, right? There's got to be power, some spiritual power to allow that miracle to happen. But that wasn't the key in this, in what he says to her. Your faith has made you well. It's the faith that unlocks the power of God to come to you and to be a reality to you, right? That is exciting to me. I like that. It's your faith that has made you well. And he says to us today, it's your faith that will make you well. So speak it out. We have to speak it out. And another verse, Mark 11, 12 through 14, and then 22 through 20 through 24 says, speak to the mountain, right? You speak to the mountain. This is the story of when the disciples were walking by. It says, verse 13, seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. He's speaking to that thing. He spoke to that fig tree. And then you can go on. We're at verse... Okay, so it jumps because there's another story embedded in the story. So then it jumps to like verse 20 and it says, so in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. This is like the next day, right? In the morning. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, like check it out. the fig tree that you curse and that you spoke to the other day, it has withered. And Jesus took this teaching opportunity. He said, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says with his words to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So this is talking about the power of our words connected to what we believe in our heart. And that is a powerful force to move a mountain, he's saying. So we have to believe it, and then we speak that, and we say, go, mountain. If you see a mountain that's in as an obstacle blocking your breakthrough, blocking you from receiving the promise that God has spoken to your heart, then you tell it to go, right? You look at that mountain and maybe it's an everyday thing, and you say, mountain, illness, whatever, you know, put a name to it. You go, because the word of God said, promises me this thing. And then you speak out get your swords out, and your sword is your rhema word that you have to fight, right? Sometimes we talk too much about how big the mountain is. Oh, it's so bad, and oh, my debt, and oh, this and that. And we're complaining like the people in the Israelites in the desert, right? Forgive us, Lord. But we need to change that and talk to the mountain about how big our God is. Mountain, you have to move, because God is bigger and he is greater, and he says this, right? And then that's another place to insert your sword. He says this, and then you tell him what he says, right? And you tell that thing, it's got to move. And then it says, you know, that you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. So no doubting allowed here. But this is so much easier when you've first conceived the image in your heart, right? It's sort of impossible to do this until you've got that image on the inside, and your words are going to line up to that, right? And then you can have that strength to tell the mountain to go, because you know that you have that thing, and that God is promising you that thing, and that you already have it. So mountain and any obstacle, leave, right? You're not welcome. Leave. So you speak out the word in authority. That's what we're talking about. Taking up your authority, as we've studied these last few months, right? So, you know, many of you know that Santos and I are believing for children, to have children. And so I have learned, I mean, a lot of what I'm speaking to you is, this is the things that, it's a rich store of faith, I will say it that way, that the Lord has built in me in this time of whatever, 2.5 years or something. And that's what the Lord has said to me. It's a rich store from which you will minister faith. And I'm ministering it back to myself today. But so learning to speak the word out in authority and declare, hey, I'm a fruitful vine. And I talk that way. And in our house, we talk that way. And I say, hey, you know, Santos. Sometimes I'll just say, hey, Santos. And we're kind of funny. And you got to have fun, you know. And just say, hey, did you know that I'm a fruitful vine? And our children will be like olive shoots around our table. You can call me Fertile Myrtle. Like, what, you know, just joking. And like, your quiver is full. And, you know, joke with the word, like, because that's what's in my heart, right? We're joyful. And I said, the Lord's going to make me a joyful mother of children and to take house. That's another word. And I could be up here and just recite them all out to you, but I won't. But just that's just a little sampling of, you know, speaking the word out of your mouth. So faith sees and faith speaks. Okay. So the next one is faith acts. So once you see the promise in your heart and you speak it, then your actions will line up accordingly. whether good, bad, ugly, whatever. So let's think about this, right? Think about what we're seeing. Think about then what you're speaking, because then your actions, you will do what you, your actions will go in line with what you are believing and speaking out. So we must line up our actions to what you believe in your heart, right? And that will just line up just naturally as well. So James 2, verse 26 says, faith without works is dead. That's the end of it. I'll read the whole thing. So it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So he's doing like a metaphor, like a comparison here. Can you imagine a body without a spirit? We are spirit beings. We have a human spirit. Every person is born with a spirit. So a body without a spirit isn't alive, right? A body without a spirit is dead. He's saying just like that, faith without actions, faith without works behind it, backing that up, is dead. It's dead faith. You don't really believe it if you're not going to act on it, basically, right? If I all of a sudden yell, fire, and you believe me, you believe that I'm telling the truth, that there's fire in the building, you're probably going to act on it, right? You're probably going to get up and get out of here or do something, you know, call 911, or you're going to act on that, what you believe to be true. Okay. So I have a fun testimony to share about this. Last year, and some of you know this story, last year, just hold off on the picture. Last year, when we started reading the prayer book, prayer study course book by Kenneth E. Hagin, which is so awesome, little commercial for that. We started reading about put action to your faith. So I started to meditate on this and think about this and start to ask the Lord, well, what should be an act of faith, Lord? You know that Santos and I are believing for children, and what would be an act of faith? And I started just asking God, what would we do? Like, if we found out that we were pregnant, what would we do? And I had a few ideas, but like then they were kind of weird and like, I don't know. Okay, nothing really took hold in my heart. So I said this to Santos, and I shared it with him, and I said, what would we do? And he just looked at me, and he said, well, we would get a nursery ready. And I was like, yeah, we would. That's right. And I said, do you know what that means? He said, what? And I said, that means I got to get all my junk out of that extra room that we've got up there. And this was during our fasting last year, and I was in the days of doing a full fast, and I don't know how many, it was the first time I did a full fast, and I did several days, like 7 days, and I was a little bit tired at one point in the evening, but I just, this just idea just lit up to me, and he was doing something, I think he was on a phone call or something, and so I go upstairs, and I start cleaning out this room that's going to become the nursery, and he like got off the phone and came up. He's like, whoa, you got a second wind of energy. And I said, yes, I did. I'm cleaning this room up because this is going to be the nursery. And this is our act of faith. Like, it just like, whew, it just lit up to me. And so we did. So we painted. So I started to just see this thing. I started to see the nursery and dream about the colors and see things on the wall and just like see a crib and see babies in there and see me rocking a baby in there and all these things. Like, we have an imagination that God has given us. Let's use it to partner with our faith. So you can go ahead. So here's us painting the nursery. I saw pale yellow and then the other wall was gray. And I saw like, you know, Hobby Lobby type style, like big plaque on the wall or something that said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, which I found not totally huge, but like I found it. And so then you can go to the next picture. So this is the finished picture of our act of faith, our prophetic act that we did, of the nursery, what it looks like finished when they get that up there. So this is just the testimony to say that faith acts on its convictions. It's our personal journey of faith with him. Oh, the other cool, really cool part of the story is that we got confirmation from this word. So what happened was, I think I shared this with, we were at Julie's house. I remember we were at Julie's house meeting for a few weeks in a row of my cell group on Mondays. And I shared this, hey ladies, this is what I'm doing. We're doing this act of faith. We're going to paint the nursery. And, you know, and Ellie was hearing this. Ellie was, I think, connected from Zoom at work. And she like got really excited hearing this, and she didn't say anything. But what happened is that the Lord had told her, showed Ellie, she's a seer and sees some things sometimes prophetically, and the Lord had showed a picture of Santos and I to Ellie painting a nursery like a few months before. And she was really excited when the Lord spoke this to her. And she was like, oh God, I can't wait to tell them. And the Lord shut her up and told and said to Ellie, gave her instructions, no, you're not going to tell them. God spoke this to Ellie and said, I'm going to tell them. So that Sunday after the Monday, and so Monday in cell group, I share this. That Sunday, you know, almost a whole week goes by, and Sunday she came up to me. I remember we were over there getting coffee and tea, and she said, hey sis, I was so excited when you shared that you guys are painting the nursery. And she said, I saw that in the spirit a few months ago, and I was really excited to tell you, but the Lord told me, no, I'm going to tell them. And oh my gosh, that just touched my heart so deeply. And it ministered to me that God is like a jealous God, that, you know, that he didn't want with this particular circumstance and situation, he didn't want any in between. He wanted to speak that directly to Santos and I. And I was like, well, sis, we got the memo. Like, we got it. It was maybe 3 or 4 months. I mean, the time doesn't matter, but he did speak it to us and we heard his voice and it was really exciting. So here's the finished nursery. And then, you know, later I put some other furniture in there and stuff. But there it is. And it's like, I see that rocking chair and I see myself rocking a baby in there. And you're like singing in the spirit over my baby. You know, it's like, wow. There's an act to it. You know, we acted on our convictions. So it's so exciting to live this journey of faith with him. He knows what we need and he will walk us through each step. So faith acts. Okay, so faith sees, faith speaks, faith acts. How am I doing on time? Just check in. Oh my gosh. Whoa. Okay. Let's, I could just minister this stuff all day. This is the truth of my heart because it's so real to me. And it's been, I joke about that I'm a slow cooker, that like it's been slow cooking. Like these things of faith have just been slow cooking for 2.5 years, you guys. So I'm just full of this stuff. Like this is my heart. Like this is what I can just, we could be here all day telling you stories about, but I won't do that. But hey, a lot of us aren't eating lunch, right? So it's okay. So the next one, faith stands. Faith stands strong despite the circumstances. Ephesians 6:10-14. Finally, be strong in the Lord. He's encouraging us today. He's encouraging you that are believing for something that haven't yet seen it come to pass. He says to you, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You might not feel like it some days and feel like, you don't have the strength. It's in God's mighty power, in God's strength, right? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is our part that we have to do. We have to cooperate with God. He's not going to do it all for us. We've got to do this part, right? Put on the full armor of God and stand. We have to resist the enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That all sounds daunting, but who's the greater one? Jesus, right? Is there more? I think there's more to that, right? On the next slide. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. This is verse 13. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. That's what we're doing. We're standing our ground, right? And after you have done everything to stand, then what do? You stand some more, right? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we must fight, right? In our thoughts, in our feelings, we must fight. We must stand. We must resist. Stand until when? Like, how long do I have to stand, Sarah? Until you've received what you are praying for and believing for, right? You'll have the greatest opportunity to compromise and to quit when you're standing. I'm just going to tell you that. Satan tries to get you to back off and to remove your faith from the mountain because you're tired. You're like just tired of fighting. I've been there. You're feeling lazy. But when you fought to a standstill, stand your ground. You know when there's a standstill in a battle and like the two opposing sides are just, they're not, either one is going anywhere because they're at a standstill, right? But what happens in a standstill? At some point, somebody gets tired. Somebody gives up. Let it be the defeated one, not you, because you're not defeated, right? So let him be tired. So you just keep standing. Stand there. No, this is what the word of God says. No, I'm basing on the highest form of reality what I say to you, devil. The truth is this, right? So that happens to many, I think many Christians. We get overpowered, right? We begin to operate in fear. So don't listen to unbelief and fear to lose ground, but surround yourself. This helps so much, and I'm so thankful for the body of faith that we have here, the brothers and sisters. Surround yourself with the Joshuas and the Calebs that are going to say, I'm going to link shields of faith with you. I mean, so many of you have spoken to me and to Santos and encouraged us when we're feeling like, you know, there's been days that I just come here and I'm on my face crying and sobbing and like, you know, tired or something of fighting. But the Joshuas and the Calebs come and say, no, you've got faith inside, and they help, you know, stoke the flame to get back standing again. So, because there's power in agreement. Matthew 18:19, if you don't know that verse, go look it up, but that's homework. For sake of time, I'm just going to keep going, but have them agree with you in faith what you're believing for, because there's power in that. So, you don't have to go looking for a fight from the devil, but don't run from a fight. If he's coming up against you with thoughts, these flaming arrows of the fiery, flaming fiery darts of the evil one, right? You've got the power of God on your side. You have the helmet of salvation that protects where your thought life happens, right? In your mind. So rise up and fight and resist. Use your authority. Luke 10, verse 19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Hallelujah. That gives me strength just reading that verse and speaking that out loud. Like, I have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, right? And then you can go, there's a picture, there's a visual there. The verse written under there is that verse in Spanish, but I just wanted to show you the visual there. Like, ha, you are under my feet, serpents, scorpions, any evil poison thing, right? It cannot harm me. So don't give up. And I really felt like the Lord wanted to say this to some of you today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand. When you've done everything, stand. Keep standing, because the word of God is true, and God is not a man that he should lie. And he's watching over his word to perform it. Okay, so don't give up. Exercise patience to be consistent and constant. Oh, man, that has been working in me. God is interested in not just giving us the thing, but through us waiting for the thing, the breakthrough, he wants to do a work in our heart. He wants to transform us, and I'm being transformed. And so this is one thing about being constant. You know, I didn't used to consider myself a constant person. And he's making me a constant person, you guys. Woo! Because I'm standing on the word of God and being like this, like steady. And not like one day I see it and the next day I don't. And then I'm up and down and you get whiplash on that roller coaster. It's like really terrible. So no more whiplash for this sister. Praise the Lord. I'm standing like, change not. Yeah, keep your strong confession. Keep your confession on the word of God, and you change not, just like God. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he's the same. Keep an attitude of joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Sing praise, worship. It's where your strength comes from. Joy is where your strength comes from. So do what you need to do to stoke the flame and stay in joy and keep resisting. So here's the little testimony about this, and then I'll move on about faith stands. So I've been, you know, I think in May believing for healing of my scalp. I've had like constant, like chronic years of, I don't really know what it is. Maybe psoriasis is the best thing I know to say, but I haven't really gotten it diagnosed. But and also like spots on my skin that I think it's related to that psoriasis or something. And I got fed up. Like in May, I was just like, enough. Like I'm ready to really battle this thing. Like I am tired of it. And I began to apply the word of God and I began to just resist. I began to just say, devil, you have got to go because I am tired of this flaking thing and dandruff and I can't wear black, dark shirts. I can't, like, it's controlling my life like way too much and it's not what the word of God says. So get out, you know? And I began to just really resist it. And I'll tell you, like, it got worse before it got better. So that's where the standing comes in, because you can't base it on you can't base your results on what you're seeing, right? You have to, like we already talked about, the seeing from the inside. Like, I see my scalp healed. I see my skin clear and healed. I had to stand my ground, and I still am standing my ground. It is so much better, you guys. Healing is in the process. Praise the Lord. It is so much better. If you really want to see it, I'll show you, like, because I'm really excited about it. But it is so, and Santos can tell you, it's a lot better than what it used to be. It's not all the way, and I know God does things complete, so I'm still standing against that and resisting. But just, the point is, stand your ground, and don't give up, okay? So next one, faith rejoices. This is fun. It's fun to rejoice. Sometimes it's not fun to rejoice when you're not feeling like rejoicing and you're feeling defeated. But it's the thing, like in YWAM we were taught, go in the opposite spirit. You have to go in the opposite spirit of what you feel. Like, I'm not letting my emotions control me here, right? So Philippians 4:4-7 says, it's instructions for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. When? Always, all the time. Now, do you feel good all the time or feel healed all the time? No, maybe not. But it says to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I guess this isn't up there, but it's okay. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's like thanking God, rejoicing, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So praise and thanksgiving is the highest expression of your faith, because even though you may not see it yet, not have the manifestation yet, you're thanking God as if you do. So it's a high expression of your faith. And I do this all the time. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my babies. And I even name them. Like, we have names and we say them out. We say, thank you. Thank you for them. Because I can see them. So it becomes real. And it's, if I know that I have them in my heart, with my spirit, you know, faith, I have them, then I'm going to thank God for them, you know? If that's what you believe, because like we talked about Mark 11, believe you receive when you pray. if you're really believing that you've already received it and that you have it, shouldn't that produce like thanks to God and praise and rejoicing? It should. It should. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So if you're really doing that verse, then the result is that you're going to praise the Lord. You're going to rejoice. You're going to thank him. Thank you that I have it. Thank you for my breakthrough, right? Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my debts being paid, whatever it is. It makes me wonder if we would all receive more answers to our prayers if we stopped asking God for the same thing over and over, but we just began to thank him for it. Because that's our faith saying, thank you that I have it. Like I'm already believing that I've received when I pray. And then I express that out. You know, an illustration in the Word of God of this that I love is Acts 16, when Paul and Silas get put in prison, right, for casting out the demon of that girl. And so they're in prison and they're in stocks. They're bloody. They've been beaten. They're persecuted. And at midnight, it says in the Word that they began to sing praises and hymns to God. Their circumstances didn't make sense that they were praising God, right? And I don't know what I would be doing in that condition, in that state. I hope that I could be like Paul and Silas and just give praise to God, sing praises to God, just lift up a song. And I'm learning to do that. I in this slow cooker process, I am praising God and rejoicing. Because like what happened, in that story in Acts 16, and you can go and read this, it's really powerful. What happened? Things moved. Literally, the earth shook. There was an earthquake in that prison, right? And freedom happened. Deliverance happened. Like the chains were broken off those prisoners. So something moves in the spirit realm when you look beyond your physical, natural circumstances and you just begin to praise and worship God. Like that song, I sing a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Blast that music up and just go around and say, ha ha, devil, you might be in the presence and you might be here, but I am singing and laughing and praising God and thanking him for my breakthrough. It is powerful and it'll make you feel better too. Then your emotions will line up to that. Instead of instead of a pity party. Pity parties are not fun. Okay, so that is faith rejoices. The last one is faith rests. We're getting to the conclusion. Are you guys doing okay? Okay, faith rests. So once you conceive an image and speak it out and act on it and you're standing your ground, then you rejoice. Right? And then with that, you enter into a rest. I'd say now I'm in this rest period where, and there's moments when I go back and I have to stand, you know, when a thought comes or, and I'm doing rejoicing also, but because I've labored to get like the seeing that we talked about, get that image alive in my heart. And there is a labor with some of these other parts of faith to get that faith working. But once you've done that, there's rest. And I've had to learn that, like, okay, Sarah, rest. Just rest in his promises. Rest that God is working it out, whatever the thing is. You know that you know that you know that you have it, and you can just rest, and there's peace in that. And that's a good stage to be in. It's a good stage to be in. So labor is fighting with the word first, resisting the devil, praying it out, getting the word into your heart so that you can see it, so you can conceive that image, making your words line up to the word of God, right? Taking your authority and confessing it and declaring God's word. But I guess I'll say this testimony about James 4:7. I love this verse. It says, submit to God which means that you need to align yourself to God, right? You need to maybe ask forgiveness for some things or just get right with God and yield yourself to Him and listen to what He says to do to get back in alignment with Him, to submit to Him. And then the next step of that verse is resist the devil. You do the spiritual warfare. It's the standing. It's the resisting. It's saying, devil, you are not getting here. It's speaking to that mountain, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's the best part. He flees. And when he flees, there's peace. There's rest. There's you and God. There's you and the Word. And you are standing on that Word. And you're resting then at that point. So I think there's a picture here, and I'll tell a little testimony too. So one example of resting, this is our wedding. Those of you that were there, this will look like a familiar scene. But so this is the outcome, and some of you know the outcome, but you know, our wedding was a challenge in the fact that we wanted a summer wedding, but it was just like all too rushed, and we both like warm weather, and, you know, the Lord spoke October. It was going to be fall time just because we had a short engagement, and that's when it worked out. And the Lord spoke to my heart specifically October 6th. And so, okay, October 6th. So we wanted, you know, an outdoor ceremony. This is Lakeside Park. And that whole week, they are, you know, the weather people are saying all this negative stuff about 80% rain and 90% rain. And I'm like, you know, like, it's my wedding day and I've waited a long time to be married. So, you know, clouds, you better, you know, go away. And because this is the man of God and this is my dream, you know, every little girl dreams about her wedding day, right? And like, it's not going to rain on my parade. And so but you know what gave me rest, gave me peace? The fact that God had spoken October 6th. Like, I had heard his voice. He had said October 6th. And I remember pastor spoke faith into me. I remember we were at the El Amish eating tacos a few days before. And my friend Inese was there. I remember that conversation. And pastor just said, you gotta, like, stand. Stand and rest of what he told you. Like, it's going to be okay because he spoke that day to you. And I just remember getting that booster shot of faith. And then it was like, okay, we just rest. And Santa's on the phone, you know, arguing with the DJ who didn't want to go bring his equipment out in the rain. And it was like, Santa's was like, you know, if you want to agree with us, brother, you can agree. And if not, then I release you and we'll sing our own music or do whatever, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, but we're standing in faith. So if you want to stand with us, stand with us. But we were able to rest. And then that morning, so even the day before was like really cold for the rehearsal. It was, remember, it was cold and we were like covered up. And, you know, October is like, you not know what way it's going to go. Sometimes the weather here in Indiana. So, it's like, yeah, and it rained that night. It stormed that night. So here I am, you know, a little bit anxious bride the night before her wedding, and I'm awake at 3 a.m. hearing the thunderstorm, and I'm going, God, God, you spoke to me. God, you spoke to me October 6th. And did you know that October 6th is already now? Like, it's in a few hours, my wedding. Remember that, God? And so you said, and I'm just resting, so I'm going to go back to sleep now because I'm resting. And guess what happened? I did. I fell back asleep. It wasn't too long that I was awake, but just, you know, the lightning woke me up. And I thought, lightning, you got to go. and so I woke up, you know, 7 a.m. or whatever it was, and went downstairs and, like, you know, Christmas morning, like this excited girl, and I opened up the curtain, like, you know, peek out the blinds, and it was sunny, you guys, and the tears just started rolling down my cheeks, and I'm like, thank you, Daddy, like, you told me October 6th, today's the day, and it's sunny. And guess what? It wasn't just sunny in like 60. It was sunny in 84 or something wild. I mean, we were sweating. Pastor was up there sweating. And if you can see this glass of juice that we used for communion, I don't have a good picture of it, but there were bees swarming. I mean, it was like a summer day. I mean, it was hot. It was in the 80s, and yeah, the bees were really swarming around that. We were like fighting it off. But there's our breakthrough promised land day with the with the beautiful weather that God arranged for us. So thank you, Daddy. So faith rests. It just rests on the promises. It's still and it's peaceful. So in conclusion, I'll wrap this up. Faith sees, faith speaks, faith acts, faith stands, faith rejoices, and faith rests. Get faith. This is my biggest thing I can say, to a piece of a counsel that I can give to you. Get faith working on the inside of you. For whatever you are believing for, get it working. Use the word of God. Spend the time and get it in the inside of you. It doesn't just work to sleep on the Bible at night, okay? Because I would have tried that if it worked. But you are an overcomer. You have Jesus living on the inside of you, and he says to you today, don't give up and fear not, right? 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Like, it's our faith that's going to overcome and get the victory for us. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and it's our faith that takes hold of things to get us the victory. You have overcoming, victory-winning power and faith on the inside of you. Stir it up. Get it working. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the last verse. It says, this is the confidence. I love that. Like, I have confidence. I can be confident in this. That we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, it's got to be lined up to his will, to his way, his word, he hears us. So he hears your prayers, and you can have confidence in that, that if you're asking something that's in the word of God, he hears you, brother, he hears you, sister. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, again, lined up to the word of God, we know that we have what we asked of him. That gives me assurance. That gives me certainty. That gives me the ability to just rest then, because I know that I'm asking something that's in the word of God and that he hears me and that I have it, what I've asked for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I think there's one other victory picture here. And this is us receiving the victory. The breakthrough line, right? This picture means a lot to me because it's something that the Lord has spoken and shown me a picture of. But this is, oh, well, that's us resting. I was going to say the running through the tape on the cross, the finish line, that's us receiving the breakthrough and receiving what faith and the word promises us, what God is taking us on this journey, like a marathon, to cross the finish line. You will receive it if you stand and you put those principles of faith into action. So there's us, and this past summer, sitting on a friend's porch swing there, and the pillow, if you can read it, it says, enjoy the little things. There's so many things in life to enjoy, and so don't, like, magnify God, not the problem or the lack of breakthrough or the lack of, you know, whatever it is, the delay. Enjoy and rest in the Lord and enjoy the little things. We're happy. Look, we're happy there. We're peaceful because we know that we have the promise. We know that we have it in our hearts. And one day we will be able to share that with you guys, and it's going to be like all of us crossing the marathon finish line together. and each, you know, that's what we do. We're called to, you know, in this community at my Father's house of believers, we might each be running a marathon or running a race or believing for something, and bring in your brothers and sisters. Go to your cell group, be a part of it, get plugged into a cell group if you're not, and say, hey, come be like those other sisters, you know, next to me, running that race with me, and help, like, and encourage together your faith. So with that, I end, but I hope this has encouraged you today to believe, to stand and believe, and put faith to work, because it works. Faith works, and God is amazing, amazing, amazing. So let's pray. We will just pray here, and I'll pray for the live stream friends listening and watching. So thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. We set our eyes on you, Father God, with whatever circumstance, whatever thing that we are believing for. Father, whether it's healing or prosperity and finances, debts to be paid, or, you know, waiting to see the salvation and deliverance or healing of a loved one. Father God, we put that thing before you. And we say, be the author and perfecter of our faith. Take us on a journey. Teach us what it is to walk through in victory with that overcoming faith on the inside of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that these words minister to each heart, Father God. That they can do the take the steps, make the effort to get the Word of God living on the inside of them. Help them, Holy Spirit, to be an artist with you and paint pictures of that breakthrough for each heart, each life. I thank you, Father God, for encouraging each one of us on the days when we're not quite feeling it. Father, but it's really not about feelings. So thank you for keeping that word of faith, that word, the sword of the Spirit alive in our hearts with which we can fight, that we can stand. Father God, that we're acting on our faith. Father God, maybe there's some people that have been believing for something for a long time but haven't yet taken a step or action of faith. Father, Holy Spirit, I pray that you show each one in that circumstance what their act of faith is to do. What do they need to do? You know, what would they do if they were healed? What would they do if all their debts were paid off? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just breathing life on that action of faith, and rejoicing. Some need to just rejoice. And help us to train ourselves to rejoice, to go against feelings and emotions and circumstances, and just forget it all and focus on you and worship you and rejoice that you are with us and that we're not alone, and rejoice in the promise of what your word says. Thank you, Father God, for rest. I thank you for rest. I pray peace over each one that is believing for something. In Jesus' name, help us get to that place of rest with you, where we know that we have it. And we just thank you and continue to thank you for it, and rest and receive it. I thank you, Father God. We bind up the spirit of fear that is an obstacle for us. I bind that up in Jesus' mighty name. And I loose the spirit of peace and rest and faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.